Piers Corbyn, I've let the UK Live political party and campaign organisation, and I'm also director of weatheraction.com, long range weather forecasters. I am a physicist, theoretical physicist, astrophysicist, and also meteorologist and long range weather forecaster.
So we've had an amber warning from the Met Office. In fact, it's been extended. Temperatures up to 40 degrees. People are being told, you know, you've got to be very careful when you go out because you may get, you know, actually damaged by this massive amount of sun, potentially anyway, caused by global warming.
Yes. Well, it's all utter nonsense. There's nothing actually extreme in the, you know, compared with anything in the last 50 years happening now. In fact, the last two hottest summers were 1976 and 2018, separated by 42 years, which is a solar and stratospheric wind interaction cycle. Because it's two times, it's roughly 2 times 22, which is the magnetic cycle of the sun, and it's a multiple of 7, which is the stratospheric wind periodicity. So, you know, these things happen, but they happen by natural causes. There's no such thing as man-made climate change, but they are beefing up everything, exaggerating everything, lying, and what will happen, it won't reach 40 anywhere. That is just bullshit. Their last warning in June was a similar damp squib. The BBC, of course, advertised the you know, raging madness of a scare story, but they don't tell you that it didn't happen afterwards.
So are you saying that it's quite safe to go out in the 40-degree sun? Because, I mean, as far as I know, actually it can be very damaging to your skin and possibly even cause cancer.
I don't think it will reach 40 degrees. But the temperature, of course, that's the air temperature. Being in direct sunlight is always a hazard anyway. I personally don't like much direct sunlight. So if you do, if you're in direct sunlight, then take some shade or put some sun cream on. I prefer just to take the shade, and if they bring a climate lockdown, I would just say take to the beach.
With a bit of sun cream, so what's behind this then? What are the Met Office up to?
Well, it's all linked with the carbon credit stuff, you see. They want to scare people that CO2 is causing everything bad that happens to them. And on the back of it, Tony Blair will walk in with carbon credits on a digital app. And it will become a fashion virtue signalling statement from morons to get their app and thereby become imprisoned in a digital ID tyranny, whereby they'll be turned off if they stop believing these things.
Well, we've got a very enthusiastic mayor, Marvin Rees, in Bristol, who was tapped up as a young man and sent over to Yale and Harvard, given a job at the BBC, that sort of thing, fast-tracked to power. But he's telling us that we have to, as a city, decarbonise, and I'd love you to explain what that can possibly mean. He's also doing this thing, which is very similar to London, which is a so-called clean air zone. And I noticed that actual air quality in Bristol has been going up in quality for the last 3 or 4 years, better quality each year. And so I suppose he's trying to accelerate that by charging everybody, including the disabled, everybody that is, except people like himself, who have got brand new cars and can afford to spend $50,000 on a Chelsea tractor. Everyone except those has to pay this new charge. So we've got two things going on in Bristol. One is this TED talk that our mayor gave a few weeks ago, and he was criticised by the local press, and then he shut the local press, that is to say, out of his press conferences, the local Democracy reporters who were paid by the BBC. But he's shut them out of the press conferences. So what's going on? Decarbonising Bristol, what does that mean? And what about this clean air charge we're about to have?
Okay. Well, decarbonising Bristol means more restrictions, including, as you said, low emission zones, and an attack on any business which produces carbon dioxide, which of course is all of them. The clean air issue, of course, is interesting because you said the air has been getting cleaner. That's probably because of cars having been more efficient and having catalytic converters. And you see, the cleanliness of cars, the measurement, is nothing to do with CO2. It's to do with oxides of nitrogen.
Well, it is also, Piers, to do with these enormous restrictions that have been brought in Bristol with the lockdowns. So we've got these kind of bollards all around on all the two-lane roads.
Ah, so the car's not even driving anywhere anyway.
One-lane roads. So with these new cycle lanes being built, with actually not very many people actually using them, but it means that there's less space for the cars. It causes more jams. Less cars can come in and out of the city, and so the air's been cleaned.
Well,
so
it causes more jams, but does it actually reduce cars going round and round, or do they just go round further? Because I've seen this in London and found these things trying to drive somewhere, and you go on a long detour to reach somewhere. Well, this is more polluting, not less polluting. More polluting in terms of, you know, whatever my car produces, such as oxides of nitrogen. See, those are the things that they actually measure about pollution. Yet it's all sold to us in terms of CO2. Now, if you really want to reduce CO2, then, you know, various people should stop breathing. You know,
well, we're
I
made
mean,
of carbon, aren't we? I mean, if you're going to decarbonize, how does that affect us?
Yeah, well, it's nonsense. You see, if they start carbon credits, it means you get a credit for reducing your CO2 or something. And it's a way of controlling and actually smashing up small businesses, because the extra, their inability, well, you know, if you're going to have to, you've got to buy a special vehicle to be allowed to drive in these ultra low emission zones. So people with these Ford Transits, you know, give up. And there's been massive redundancies involved in all this. That will happen in Bristol as well. It's an anti-business, anti-family, pro-mega corporation operation. Because when these businesses fail, the mega corporations take over.
Well, that's right. That's what's been happening during the lockdowns too, hasn't it?
Wages. Yep. I mean, that is the whole agenda, and we have to fight all aspects of it. And the carbon con is it's a religious thing, you know, and it's for, very stupid people who believe that they're saving the planet by actually smashing up businesses.
Okay, so this whole business of carbon trading, I was looking back a few years at the Panama Papers, and I noticed that Prince Charles has got quite a large stake, a founding stake, in one of the businesses, or I'm not sure if it's an NGO, a charity of some sort, which is actually controlling this whole business of carbon trading. So he personally stands to benefit by this new carbon trading system. So what is, I mean, because he, I know, is a major, you know, friend of Klaus Schwab, and he's always at these climate things. He's a big pusher of the whole climate thing. So how are he and Klaus Schwab, how is this whole thing supposed to work, Piers?
Well,
this is why I can't understand. Trading carbon
is
a bizarre idea. Yeah. I don't actually have any carbon apart from the carbon used to make my barbecue.
So suppose you want to set up a steel producing thing or a blast furnace, right? Well, in order to do that, because you're going to produce lots of CO2, you'd have to buy carbon credits, that is, credits to allow you to produce the CO2.
Presumably from Prince Charles, because it's his system.
You'd buy them from Prince Charles, yes. And the way he can provide them is because he's planted some trees somewhere which are going to absorb carbon dioxide. Or he's purported to plant trees somewhere. I mean, who knows what really goes on. But he's got these things for carbon credits, and you can buy them off him, and thereby you the planning deal with the government that's allowed you to build the blast furnace goes ahead, because you've got carbon credits to do it, you see. And so the person producing carbon credits by whatever are probably false means, gets loads of money.
And well, it's funny you say that, because
you have to increase the price of your steel as well.
We've been doing some investigations in the southwest, and actually it's HTV in Cardiff and in Bristol that did put a piece out recently explaining that these private equity firms have been setting up businesses, NGOs, they appear on the surface to be NGOs, that are buying up farmland at high prices. And then they are saying, well, we're going to be planting trees all over this. Now, this is what it's doing, is it's massively increasing the price of farmland in South Wales, so that families cannot afford to buy that farmland when it comes up.
That's right.
Normally,
that's
what happens is a farm is able to, you know, farmers are able to expand their farm, build up the farm through, you know, decades or whatever by buying bits of farmland nearby there. They can't afford to do that anymore.
Completely. No. You know, the whole, it's a thing that the, well, I was going to say the left, but you see the people going down to the left now are, they, are just mad people. All right. Progressive people need more to need to understand a lot more the true crisis of farming in Britain, which is an abomination. You just describe what happens. So mega corporations producing nothing are going to take over. Price of farmland will go up. Price of food will go up. And there'll be loads of trees there. Well, trees are nice, but frankly, you know, there is other places to build trees when we need to grow food.
I wonder, is this any connection to Bill Gates? He seems to be buying up a lot of farmland.
He's buying huge amounts of land in America. Well, yes. I think, again, that could be the case. So he can, well, he wants to make food artificially, so God knows what he wants to do with all that land. But you see, that land would hopefully, I suppose anyone buying it, maintain its value in the long run. So that's probably what he's doing, because if you're buying cash, you know, that's going to go down in value because of inflation. So he's just an evil bastard.
I suppose you could, you know, you could even stretch it so far as to say, well, one of the reasons Gates is buying up all this land is to take it out of meat production so that there's more of a demand for his artificial meat, maybe. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that these people with mega bucks can use their money to do this. Anyway, whereabouts, what's the best place to, for people to follow your stuff online?
Come to letthetheuklives.com, which is our campaign organisation and party. And most of the information for that, it comes out through stopnewnormal.net. And if you want to know more about the climate scam, which I would recommend everyone does know, and I gave a talk in Kent yesterday to the saying Stand in the Park, which went down very well, and it was about the whole crisis and partly about the climate con as well. So if you want to know about that, you can download a scientific paper by me and Philip Foster, another physicist. Go to weatheraction.com.
And I think you're in Bristol, aren't you? Coming in Bristol this weekend.
I am. I'm going to be in Bristol on Saturday the 16th, correct, at 1 o'clock at the bandstand. So that'll be quite an enjoyable thing. I'm going to present, you know, what's happening with the movement around the world and clarify issues on climate, because I know that's what people need right now.
And I think the other thing is quite a lot of people listen to our show are interested in networking.
Are
you doing some sort of networking event too?
We are. At 6 o'clock, we're going to have it's Let the UK Live and others having a kind of liaison meeting to sort of draw together any people in the Southwest that don't know about each other. I mean, that sort of stuff goes on a bit anyway, but we're trying to speed it up to make the whole movement stronger.
Okay, and can you tell us whereabouts that will be and when?
Yes, it is at 6 o'clock, and it's in the Guinea. I haven't got it in front of me. Is there a Golden Guinea pub? Something like that. But if you go to there's two things you could go to. You could go to Piers Corbyn's StopNewNormal.net on Telegram, or also on Telegram, March for More CO2. That's a number 4.
Debbie Hicks is going to be speaking there too. Who's she?
Yes, she is, definitely. She's coordinating it, really.
Okay, Piers Corbyn, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. All the best.